Amen. Amen.
Again, we're certainly glad to be here tonight. Glad to see all of you back and have another opportunity to stand, but another opportunity to come out and worship the Lord. We've had, I believe, some good services this week. These brothers have brought good sermons, and I felt that the Spirit of the Lord has been here and blessed us with His presence. And I believe if we continue to surrender our will to His, and that's the key. That's the key. Every time we come through those doors, every time we bow down to pray, we've got to surrender ourselves, each and every one, saints of the Lord, we've got to surrender ourselves to the Lord to be used of Him, that we might glorify Him. And when we do that, He'll be pleased. He'll be pleased when we surrender our will. So I encourage everyone tonight to continue to follow the Lord. If He lays something on your heart, and again, I'll reiterate, Brother Bronner has already said, but if you need to pray up here in your seat, whatever, you don't need to wait till an invitation. You don't need to wait till the end. Don't wait till the next song starts. It's not going to bother me. And if we need to stop and pray, we will. If I need to keep preaching, I will. We'll just do what the Lord wants, but you do what the Lord lays on your heart as well. So, does anybody have anything? Anything need to be said or done before we...
Brother Nathan, I won't say
anything on your heart. If not, then I would like to direct your attention to the 10th chapter of Matthew. 10th chapter of Matthew. And I want to start in the 34th verse. 34th verse. And just read two or three verses kind of for a background. Then we'll flip over a couple of chapters to get our text. But I want to start here. 10th chapter of Matthew, starting in the 34th verse. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man whose foes, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Now, with that in mind, particularly the 34th verse that he said he came not to bring peace but a sword, I want us to look at the 13th chapter of Matthew. 13th chapter of Matthew, and we're going to start around the... we'll start with the 24th verse. We'll read that whole parable. "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying," this is Jesus speaking, "the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Amen. Gather the wheat into my barn. What I want to talk about tonight is a separation. I want to talk about the great separation. Now, going back to what we read in the background there in the 10th chapter, that's really what Jesus is talking about. When he says he came to bring a sword, he's not specifically talking about violence, but what he's talking about is the separation. See, a sword divides. Another place in the scripture, it talks about how that the word is like is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder, separating. And so Jesus was talking here specifically in the 10th verse. He was trying to right some wrong conceptions about what he came to do. Now we know in the beginning of the gospel story, I believe it's in Luke, where the angels come and they say, talk about Emmanuel coming, and they say, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And that's true in the proper context. And I don't have time. That's not what we're going to preach about tonight, is what those angels meant by peace on earth. But really what they meant is peace on earth and goodwill towards men in Christ, in this child. Now, a lot of people thought that the Messiah was going to come, and through some retaking of the Roman throne or reestablishing the throne of David, that he was going to bring physical peace into this earth. And Jesus was trying to tell him, no, that's not what I came to do. And I want us to understand that there's a lot of wrong ideas about Jesus and about being a Christian and about following Jesus and about what Jesus did going around in the world today. There's a whole lot of people that want to talk about, oh, peace and love and this, let's just all get along. Well, that would be great if we were all following Jesus. See, we can all get along, and there could be peace and tranquility if everybody was following Jesus. Well, see, the problem is they're not. And that's what Jesus is really saying. He said, listen, I didn't come to bring peace the way that you think of peace. You think I'm going to come and establish something where everybody's just going to get along and it's going to be just perfect and there's going to be no more. He said, that's not what's going to happen. Not this side of glory. He said, what I really did is I came to bring a sword. I came to bring separation. He said, I'm going to say, as a matter of fact, that separation, he says, is, I'm going to set a man at variance with his father. He said that separation is not just going to be among people groups, among ethnic groups, among language groups, or all the different ways that people have divided themselves and divided themselves in Jesus' time and do now. He said, no, the sword I'm going to bring, it's going to divide right down the middle of families. It's going to set fathers and sons at odds. It's going to separate daughters from mothers and daughter-in-laws from mothers. He said, and a man's enemies, those that he's separated from, are going to be in his own household. Now, what did he mean by that? What did he mean that he was going to set variance within households even? Well, we begin to see, that's why I wanted to then move over to the 13th chapter. And there he's talking about a parable. A parable about the kingdom. Now, if things worked out the way God would, the way God wishes that they would, everybody would be saved and follow Jesus Christ. You believe that, don't you? You believe that God wants all men to be saved, don't you? That's what the scriptures say. That's the truth. I know there's a lot of people out there that teach otherwise, but I'm telling you, God desires that all men would be saved. And so therefore, if things were working out the way God wanted them to, everybody would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everybody would be in the kingdom of God, and everybody would get along. And there would be peace, but see, there's not going to be. And that's what Jesus said. So there's got to be a separation. And Jesus gives us a picture of what that separation looks like here in the 13th chapter. He said that
that there's a householder and he had a field. And he said that that he came down and he sowed seed out in the field. But then when the seed began to grow up, they saw that there were tares in there. Now tares are something that we don't really understand maybe too much, so I have to explain it. Is my understanding is that a tare grows up and it looks just almost exactly like a wheat when it heads up, that it looks almost exactly like wheat. From a distance, you can't even tell the difference. Now, there is a difference, and you can tell when you get up real close and look at it. If you know what you're looking for, you can tell the difference between a wheat and a tare. But the biggest difference is that the tare doesn't produce any fruit. It heads up, but it doesn't have any. There's nothing there that has of any value. It looks like the wheat. It takes sustenance from the ground just like the wheat. It crowds out the wheat, but when it comes harvest time, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's a weed. It's not good for anything. And the servant says, well, Master, didn't you sow good seed? You didn't sow any bad seed in there, did you? And the master said, no, I sowed good seed. An enemy has done this. An enemy has come in and sowed tares, bad seed, in the field among everyone else. And then the servant says, well, should I go out and dig up the tares? Let's go get rid of them. He said, no, because what will happen if we do that? If we go out right now and try to get rid of the tares, perhaps we'll hurt some of the wheat. When we dig up a tare, we might get a wheat dug out of there too, and then it won't be able to grow. So let them grow together. We'll just let them grow together, and we'll wait till harvest time, and then we'll separate them out. Then we'll separate the wheat from the tares. And what does he say? The first thing we'll do is we'll take the tares. They look like wheat, but they're not. They don't have any fruit. They're not good for anything. And we're going to bind them up, and we're going to cast them in the fire. We're going to burn them, get rid of them. But the wheat, then we'll gather it into our barn. There will be a separation. There will be a separation. And I believe that Jesus down here later on instructs what was going on with this parable. But I've kind of, so what this stood for, he said, now the field is the world. I want you to see this parable. He said, the field is the world. And the good seed is the gospel. And it's been spread. Jesus spread the seed. The church has come to spread the seed. And when the seed gets in the good ground, it grows up. When it falls into a heart, and that heart receives Jesus and repents and believes and is saved, then that wheat, that good wheat, grows up. But see, right along beside the wheat, the tares begin to grow up. God didn't sow the tares, the enemy did. The devil sowed the tares. And they grow right up beside the wheat and look just like the wheat. I want you to understand that the wheat is saved people. The tares are lost people. And a lot of times you can't even tell them apart. And I want to tell you that if you're a tare, if you're lost, you may come in among God's people. You might sit in church. You might sing songs. You might pray. Go to Sunday school. Do all of those things just like the wheat. And to the untrained eye, they look out in the field and they just see everything looks like wheat. But I'm telling you, the master, when it comes harvest time, he knows the difference between the wheat and the tares. And there will be a separation. There might not be a separation now. If you're lost, you may get comfortable in among all the wheat and get to feel like you're just like everybody else, but you're not. The master knows, and there's a day coming. There's a day coming when there's going to be a separation. That's what Jesus is talking about. And that goes back to the sword that he was talking about. He said, the gospel will set people at variance. You know, there'd be peace on earth if it was just up to Christians. Paul told Christians, he said, as much as is within you, get along with your neighbor. And I paraphrase, he said, get along with everybody as much as is in you, as much as it's up to you. But see, we know that the world doesn't like the gospel. We see it in the scriptures. They were preaching Jesus and the persecution rose up in Jerusalem. It spread out. It was the Jews that persecuted first, but it wasn't very long before the rest of the Gentile world got in on the act. And the Romans began to persecute the Christians because they didn't like the message. Now, why were they persecuting them? Because of the gospel. And that's why Paul and Peter told them, listen, pay your taxes. Don't be a rabble-rouser. Get along with everybody. Don't do anything that would bring reproach on the gospel, so that when they persecute you, the whole world will know that you're being persecuted because of God and not because of anything that you're doing wrong.
Amen.
Simply because of the gospel. And so that's the sword he's talking about. He said when the gospel comes down, there's going to be a separation between the wheat and the tares. And those that are tares aren't going to like the wheat. And they're going to rebel against them and they're going to persecute them. And it surely did happen within Jewish households. There were families cut right down the middle by the gospel. The gospel separated. It separated out those that would have faith in Jesus Christ. Those that would respond to the gospel call. And those that refused to respond. And there were plenty, weren't there? I mean, I want you to think about it. Jesus was going on. The same message was heard by all those people, by the scribes and the Pharisees, and everybody, everywhere Jesus went. They saw the same miracles. They heard the same preaching, the same teaching. Some believed on Him to be the Messiah. I preached a few nights ago about that thief on the cross. That thief on the cross, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. There were leaders even among the Jews, like Nicodemus, that believed. See, they proved out to be weak. They believed. But right next to them were others that refused the gospel. They saw the same evidence as everyone else, and they refused it. And those are the ones, households divided. Even today we have households divided by the gospel, don't we? We have wheat and we have tares. But I want you to understand, if you're lost, please understand. It might seem like we're all going to the same place. When the harvest time comes, everybody's going to go up to the barn. It's not going to be so. The Master said, at the harvest, at the end of days, when time stops, I will then separate out. And He knows. He's going to separate out all the tares. Those that have refused the gospel. Those that have been separated from Jesus Christ by the sword of the gospel. They have heard about Jesus. They've heard about repentance and faith. They've heard about heaven and hell and the eternal fate of every man, woman, and child. And they have rejected the Savior. He said, I'm going to bundle all them up. And they're going to be cast into the fire. Literally cast into the fires of hell for all of eternity. That's a great separation that's coming. And it's all about the fruit of salvation. There's a whole lot of people, I'm afraid we have lost here tonight, but there's a whole lot of people out there in this world sitting in church pews that are tares and they don't even know it because they've got no fruit. Oh, they might have some good works in their life, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fruit of repentance and faith. That's the fruit that God is looking for. Did you believe, my son? Did you repent unto salvation? Did you put your heart and your soul into my son, the best that I have that I gave to die on a cross for your sins? That's the difference between the wheat and the tares. And there's going to be a separation. Jesus talks about it there. That's not the only place that He talks about it, though. We're going to continue on in Matthew if you want to turn to the 25th chapter. I want to give, there's just a little another picture. Same idea of separation, but a little bit different picture of it. He says in the 25th chapter, where are we at? Starting about the 31st verse of the 25th chapter. Again, Jesus speaking here. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of glory. Jesus is talking about His second advent, His return at the end of time. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He's going to sit upon the throne in glory. And before His him shall be gathered all nations. Now what he means by that, he's not talking about nation states. He's talking about people. By nations, he just means all different types of people. The Romans, the Greeks, the Macedonians, the Scythians, the Chinese, the everybody. Everybody, all nations under the sun. Every man, regardless of what they claim, is what God that they think they worship, Jehovah is going to gather them all at the throne before his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them. The great separation. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now here's another picture. Sheep from the goats. Out there in a field. You know, they didn't have, you know, nice fences and everything. They had goats and they had sheep, and they just turned them out into a big field and they grazed. And they might graze for days or weeks, but when it came time to separate them, that flock would come down and the shepherd would come there and he would separate out the sheep from the goats. And he knew which were which. And when they come, he'd put the sheep over here, he'd put the goats over here, sheep over here, goats over here. So there was a separation. Somebody else looking out into the field might not even know which ones were which. You know, not all, back then, not all sheep and goats look so much different as they do today. Although even today, if you've ever seen hair sheep, they look a lot like, they don't have wool like you think of. They look an awful lot like a goat. But the point is that the master, the shepherd, knew which were which. And when the time came, they were all out there mixed together, and the sheep eating with the goats, and the goat eating with the sheep, and they were playing together, and they drank water together, and they even lay down together. They did everything together, just like they were one big flock. But at the critical time, when it was time, the shepherd separated them. There was a separation. And so it is for all mankind. We're out here in the world. We're growing up, the wheats and the tares together, the sheep and the goats, the saved and the lost, mingling together in the world, working side by side, going to town, going to the grocery store, going to school, coming to church together, all the goats and the sheep all mixed up together, and everything looks fine. And if you're not careful, you think you're all one big flock. There's no difference. But there is. There is. And the shepherd knows the difference. And when the time comes, he will separate them. If you're lost here today, there is a time that you will be separated from the saved.
Yep.
Separated from the saved. And he says, as a shepherd divided the sheep from his goat, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And so they're going to be separated. Sheep on the right hand, goats on the left hand. And he shall, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So we've separated. And now there is a destination. They've been separated. They were all out there together, but they've got a different destination. So he separated them out. The sheep, to the sheep, he says, come enter into the kingdom which my Father hath prepared for you before the foundation of the earth. Enter into heaven. That's what he says to the sheep. That is the end for saved people. For those of us that have repented and believed and know Jesus Christ, I'm not afraid of that separation, because I know that I'm a sheep. I know what my final destination is. Not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of His shed blood on that cross. But to the goats, skip on down to the 41st verse. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's another picture of that separation. The tares get separated from the wheat and they're cast into the fire to be consumed because they're good for nothing. The goats cast into hell, cast into everlasting fire. It says, be ye cursed. Depart from me. You're cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what's going to happen when that separation comes, according to Jesus. And why? Why is that? Why does he use this picture. We've talked about sheep and goats, and I don't know a whole lot about sheep and goats. I kept a few little goats and a few sheep, but they have different natures. Sheep and goat have different natures. Goats are just kind of more ornery than sheep are. Sheep are more prone to be led. Goats kind of do their own thing. They'll get out and they'll run off on you. And see, the people, they understood that. There's a difference. So what separates the sheep from the goat? It's not how they look on the outside. It's not because sheep have wool, because there's some sheep, I told you, that don't have wool. That's not what it is. The difference between a sheep and a goat is their nature.
Amen.
Their nature. What's the difference between a saved person and a lost person? Their nature. And not the one we're born with. Listen, I was born with a sinful nature. We've talked about this week already. I was born a sinner. You were born a sinner. The difference is, I've had my nature changed. God turned me into a sheep. I was goat. I was born a goat.
Yeah.
We were all born goats. And I want to tell you, if you don't get something happen to your heart, if you're not born again, if you don't have an application of the blood of the Savior upon your heart, you'll stay a goat. We were all born goats, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ in 1986 made me a sheep. He changed my nature. That's the only difference. That's the only difference between me and the lost. It's the only difference between a sheep and a goat is its nature. And the sheep have been made so by Jesus Christ. I want to give you the final picture here. So Jesus has laid out these parables during his teaching to try to get them to understand that, listen, it's not just one big old family. Not everybody's going into the kingdom. There's not going to be just peace, but rather there's going to be a sword that the devil has sowed tares. He's sowed among the wheat that there are some out there that have no fruit of salvation. That there's sheep and there's goats. There's people of different natures. Two different people. Two different natures. A nature of righteousness, not born with it. I want to stress that, not born with it. None are born with a nature of righteousness, but I was given one when I was saved. The new birth gave me a nature of righteousness. But if you haven't been born again, you still have a nature of unrighteousness. Jesus was trying to explain this. He said, everybody's living together and it looks like it's just great, but there's coming a day that there's going to be a separation. Then over in Revelation, in the 20th chapter of Revelation, it's a familiar passage to most of you, I'm sure. But he writes, 20th chapter, starting in the 11th verse. This is John writing. He said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." I want you to understand that. From whom the earth and the heaven fled away. Earlier in this same book, I think I'll just read it because it's a good... picture this. John, who wrote this, the Apostle John, he had accompanied with Jesus Christ. He had laid his head on Jesus' breast. He was a true friend to Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth. So he knew Jesus intimately. Not only spiritually, I know him intimately in a spiritual way, but John knew him in a way that I've never known him. Jesus called him friend. But when Jesus showed up in His glory, I want you to see what happened in there, that first chapter of Revelation. "And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. The presence of Jesus Christ in his glory knocked John down. He said, I fell as if one dead. That was the power of the presence of the Almighty. And that's what it's going to be like before that great white throne, where even those that were closest to Jesus in this life, those that have been closest to him in any life, in any time, when they come into the presence of the Lion of Judah, we're going to fall down as one dead.
Now imagine if you're lost and undone. Imagine if you've never repented unto him. Imagine if you've rejected him through all of your life, all of his pleadings, all of his yearnings, all of his love and mercy poured out unto you in this life, and you've rejected every bit of it. What is it going to be like when you come in to the presence of Jesus Christ? That's what he means when he says that the heaven and the earth fled away from him because of the power of his presence. And he said there in the 12th verse, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's the dead. The dead are going to return to life. There's going to be a resurrection. All the dead of all ages, from Adam up until the last day, you and I included in there somewhere. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. There's nowhere to hide. This is it. This is what John saw. This is the final separation. Jesus talked about it in parable about the wheat and the tares. He talked about it in, as goats and sheep. But here it is, the clearest vision that was given unto John as Jesus in all of his might, all of his glory, and all of his power, such that John himself even fell down as dead before him when he came into the presence of Jesus Christ. He's going to sit on that throne, and all the dead of all ages, the sea is going to give up their dead, and the grave, and everyone that's ever walked is going to stand before him. And he's going to bring out those books.
Yep.
Many books. He said the dead are going to be judged out of those books of works, according to the works that are in them. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to understand these books. The book of works, they're going to bring out. I picture it like this. He's going to bring out these book of works. I don't know how many books it is. It's got all the works of every man written down. And I want to tell you, when he looks at the book of works, every man is going to stand condemned. I will not stand based upon what's in that book of works. I can't stand. And I want to tell you, if you're lost here tonight, you cannot stand before Jesus Christ based on the book of works. He said, when everyone's going to be judged out of that, everyone's works are going to come up short. It doesn't matter whether you've been a big sinner or a little sinner. Doesn't matter. Your works will not stand. How do I know that? Because he said there's another book. See, there's another book. It's not the book of works. It's the book of life. The Lamb's book of life. And the only way your name gets in that is when the blood is applied to your heart in your time and place. When you repent and believe upon Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, it was May 21st of 1986 in West Virginia, in the basement of a little old church in a little old country there. And that's when my name was written. See, before that, my name wasn't there. If I'd have died before that, I only had my works to stand on, and I would have been cast into hell. But that night, the same moment that he spoke peace to my heart, my name was written in that book of life. And he said, anyone whose name is not written in the book of life is cast into hell. I want you to get that in your head. There's the book of works, and there's the book of life. The book of works will get no one into heaven. That's the separation. The separation will come as all come before. Just as Jesus pictured it with the wheat and the tares, as He pictured it with the sheep and the goats, all men, great and small. Doesn't matter what you did in this world, kings, mighty men, Nebuchadnezzar, the pharaohs, the greatest that you can imagine, right along with the ones that you've never heard of, the least, they're all going to stand together, and they're not going to be, no one's going to stand on their works. Doesn't matter what kind of king, what kind of celebrity, how much money they had, all that book of works is going to do is condemn. But thank God there's a book of life. There's a book of life, and the separation, that sword that Jesus talked about, it's going to cut right down between the book of works and the book of life. And if your name is not written in that book of life, you'll be cast into hell for all of eternity. He said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the separation we're talking about. Listen, it does not get any more serious than this. This is serious business. This is not maybe this is going to happen. This is for sure this is going to happen. Death is not the end for you. Each one of us is facing death. As Brother Bronner has said, I don't fear what happens after death. I fear the sting of death just like any man. I don't like pain. I don't want to die in a painful way. I don't want to waste away by cancer. I don't want to get hit by a train. None of that. So I fear that a little bit. But what happens on the other side, I'm not afraid of a bit. I'm not afraid of a bit because I know that my name's written in the book of life. But I want you to understand that death is not the end. Death is not the end because there's a day coming. There's a day coming when the separation will be made. The final and eternal separation will be made. But listen, your fate is sealed here in this life. Don't misunderstand me. There's no room for changing things after you die. Because the die is already cast. See, the Bible says, there's a lot of people that think, well, I hope when I get to heaven, when God weighs everything out, Listen, that's not the kind of judgment it's going to be. God's not going to stand and do a Judge Judy and, look at the, well, this way and that way. Well, No, the decision's already been made.
Amen.
Jesus said that he that believeth on me shall not be condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, in eternity, the separation has already been made. We're just waiting. We're just waiting for it to be made manifest. But right now, you can know right now what your fate is going to be. You don't have to wait till the end to find out if you're a sheep or a goat. I'm telling you right now, if you have not been saved, you're a goat. If you've not been saved, you're a tare. If you've not been saved, your name is not in the book of life. And you can be assured that on that day of separation, you're going to be cast in the fire for all of eternity.
Right.
But this is a time. Right now, see, and I've tried to preach on this before, but Jesus, I said when He comes that second time, He's going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See, the Scripture pictures Him as a lamb and as a lion, doesn't it? Those two things don't really go together. But they do. I want to tell you, the first time he came as a lamb, didn't he? He came as a lamb and he went to the slaughter to die for your sins and for mine. And we've not seen him. See, John got a glimpse of him as the lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah, leading the host of angels to bring judgment upon his enemies. But see, that's the way he's coming the second time. He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But right now, he's still the Lamb. He's still the Lamb of God. He's still right there at the right hand of God. He's still extending mercy. He's still just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. Brother Barry mentioned last night about that fig tree that didn't produce anything. And I believe, just like he said, the church is watering. I believe Jesus is up there holding the Father's hand. God, not yet. Not yet. Don't return yet. Don't send me yet. Because if Jesus splits the eastern sky tonight, it's over. It's over for everyone. You are what you are. There'll be no more time for mercy. Those fig trees that haven't produced fruit are
are going to be cut down just like the tares and cast into the lake of fire. The goats are going to be separated. The books will be opened. And if you're not saved, you'll be cast into hell. And I believe Jesus, even now, He's interceding with the Father. Saying, Lord, not yet. Lord, not yet. Give Him a little more time. Let me fertilize it a little bit more. Let the church work a little bit more. Let the gospel work a little bit more. Let the Holy Spirit work on their heart just a little bit more. Let's draw them just a little bit more. Give them one more chance, Lord, to repent.
But that day is swiftly approaching that it'll be done. That it'll be done. That separation, I don't know when it's happening, but I'll tell you what, it's closer today than it was yesterday. It's a lot closer than it was when Jesus talked about it. It's a lot closer than it was when John was given this vision from on high. And it's getting closer every day. Every day we're closer to that final separation. Come to Jesus now. The good news is, I've told you all of this bad news. The good news is there is hope yet with Jesus. There is yet a balm in Gilead, the scripture says. The great physician, Jesus Christ, is still, even now, willing to come and change you from a goat into a sheep. He'll change you from a tare into a wheat just like that. He'll bring forth that fruit of repentance and faith, and you'll be wheat just as sure as I am. Now, even now, if you repent and believe. But I want you to understand that there's a time coming when that'll be over. He's not always going to be the Lamb. He's not always going to be interceding with the Father. There will be a time that He will return as John saw Him. And we're all going to fall down before Him. We're all going to fall down before Him. The Scripture says every tongue, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh yes, even the lost, even the sinner, even the agnostic, even the atheist, even the most wretched blasphemer, God denier that there is, will bow and admit that He is Jesus Christ the Lord. But it'll be too late then. It'll be too late then. You need to bow your knee and you need to confess Him now. Now, while there's still mercy to be had. Repent and believe, I beg you. I beg you. There is a great separation coming. Think about it. Children to be separated from their parents. If you're at the age of accountability, it doesn't matter how old you are. You know, I understood this when I was 9 or 10 years old. I was lost. I mean, I wasn't ready to be out in the world alone. I got an 18-year-old at home that's starting to figure out he's not ready to move out on his own. He thought it was going to be real easy to be separated from mom and dad and go out on his own. He's finding out it's not quite as easy as he thought it was going to be. So you might think, oh, I'm not going to be separated from my mom and dad yet. I'm only 12, 13, 14 years old. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, it don't matter how old you are in years. If you are of the age of accountability, you're going to be separated, eternally separated from mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, everybody that loves you, that is a child of God. You're going to be separated from them. Oh, let that sink in. Let that sink in, what that's going to be like when you're separated, because it's coming. It's coming. Come to Jesus now. I could keep going, but I guess we'd just be rehashing what we've already said. We get so... It's so easy in this world that we live in. I think in times past, definitely in, you know, the Jews as a people, at least they understood that they were separate from everybody else. Brother Justin preached about that little maid. And I don't know how old she was. I picture maybe 15, 16 years old, you know, not very old at all. But see, she had that separation was ingrained in her so much. She knew that she was different than these Syrians, that she was raised. She was a different person because it was so ingrained in the way that she was raised. And there was a time among our forefathers, I think, that we ingrained a sense of separation among Christians, among people. We were back when we were persecuted. Brother Bronner hit it on the head. He said, "We've done a lot better
being persecuted than being a prosperous God's people. And that's the truth. When we were persecuted, it was obvious there was a separation between God's people and the world. And children could see it as they grew up. And they understood when they were lost that they were like those heathen out there. They were like those people until they got saved. Until they got right with God, they were like everybody else. It didn't matter that they got drugged to church. It didn't matter that they came in. Until they had their heart changed, they were different. And God's people understood a separation. See, part of the problem is that as God's people, we don't live very separate. We don't live very separate from the world. And what that's caused among our children and among the lost is they don't feel separate. They don't feel separate from us. They don't feel different from us. And so they just keep right along going in their lost condition, and we keep right along hand holding them and slapping them on the back all the way to that day when the separation is going to happen, and they're going to be shocked. They're going to be shocked. See, because we don't live like we're separate. When we don't live like we're separate, when we don't live like God's people are different from the world doesn't think we're any different. And so it's very easy to think, well, I'm just like them. I'm just like them. Our children begin thinking that just because they come to church and grandma and grandpa are godly people and mom and dad or whatever, and they have been taught these things and other, that they're just like everybody else in the service, in the church, and they're not. They're not. I wish that they were, but they're not. As long as they're lost, they're separate.
Amen.
As long as you're lost, you're separate. And it might not seem like it now, but I want you to understand. That's what these scriptures were trying to show. What Jesus was trying to show. There's a day coming when that separation is going to be made real and eternal. And you don't want to be separated from God when that time comes. You want to be with the wheat. You want to be with the sheep. You want to have your name in that book of life. But you've got to come to Jesus. It starts on an altar. It starts on your knees. It starts somewhere pouring out your heart to God. There's no other way than to pour out your heart to God and find peace through repentance and faith. Brother Dyer, you can get a song. I beg that you would fix it up now. Don't be separate. Don't be separate. You are until you get your heart fixed. Know that that separation is coming, and get it fixed now while there's time, while Jesus is yet willing and able to extend mercy. He wants all to be saved. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him. Come to Jesus and be made a sheep tonight. Be made a sheep.